Uno, dos, tres.
Hey, welcome to In the Thick. I'm Julio Ricardo Varela, and today we have a very special episode. Since Maria is still out writing her book in the Dominican Republic, joining me, and I'm so excited to introduce her, is our very own In the Thick fellow, Noor Saudi. Hey, Noor.
Hey, Julio. It's great to be here.
I'm so excited. The In the Thick fellow, it's so formal. It's just,
ooh.
I love it. It's and so basically, Noor, since you're our In the Thick fellow, you're going to be filing reports for us. You did your first one recently. There was a panel organized by the Metro New York chapter of UN Women about the future of politics for women in the city. And there were all these politicians speaking, all from the city, all from New York City. So tell me about it. Tell me about what you saw.
Yeah, it was awesome. So, I mean, last week I went to the event and it was cool. There were all these like women politicians there, and the audience was full of like these corporate business women and women political organizers and just people who wanted to like be involved in this conversation about political participation for women, all from New York City. And while it like wasn't your usual activist meeting, you know.
Wait, what does that mean?
Like, you know, it wasn't like chanting and loud cheering. It was kind of more like a vibe chill, like a deep conversation.
I see what you're saying. There wasn't like people shouting like CCF
yeah,
where they were.
We need women.
But, okay. I know what you mean. So it was more chill. It was more chill. Okay.
Yeah. But so, you know, we're talking about how on the national level, we're seeing all this hype after like 106 women were elected to Congress last year, you know. And yet here in New York City, you have these politicians talking about it and going deeper.
Like deeper. Oh, wow. You have like a deep cut, like Noor's deep cut reporting. I love this.
Yeah.
You've already sucked me in. We're getting really into this conversation. You really sucked me in. So what do you mean by deeper in that sense?
Yeah. So they were talking about, you know, this fight to get more political representation in government and what that looks like. And I thought it was interesting because we have these politicians from like different levels, from the local city level to national. So you get to see this contrast that's happening, you know, between what's happening here in New York City to what is going on in the rest of the country.
Right.
So like council member Helen Rosenthal, she kept stressing how it's on us, it's on women to show up, to support each other, donate to campaigns for women. And yet Representative Clark is here pointing out that Black women are always showing up.
Then you wake up one morning, you realize you have consistently been out there, consistently voting, encouraging others to vote, but you're never given any recognition for it. Everyone else is claiming credit. And, you know, it got to a point where we realized that we were saving people from themselves, and it was time for us to claim that space.
I mean, just like Black women saved Alabama from Roy Moore in the Senate race, you know? So it's interesting to see these differences in who is showing up here in New York City versus across the country.
That contrast is super interesting for me because I do think that it's still 2019 and there's still people who aren't people of color who are kind of overlooking how big of a political force Black women are in this country's history.
Mm-hmm.
They never seem to get the attention that they deserve. And I just found it, what you're just saying, is just like telling, like someone's like, hey, we need to support women. And it's like, we've been here,
yeah,
people.
Exactly.
Like, we've been doing this. Like, we've been making it happen. Welcome to the club, right?
Exactly.
And I think the conversation about the midterm 2018 election, which we've covered on In the Thick, as sort of being historic, I'm sure that's what centered the conversation. But from what I can sense, it went beyond that, no?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like the 2018 midterms did spark this momentum and this like new conversation we're having that like we need more diverse voices in government. But I don't know. I just feel like it is easy to get lost in the hype, seeing these new voices in Congress, because we look at New York City as one of the most progressive cities with like all these progressive values.
Right.
But then it's obvious when you look at it on a local level that there's a lot of work to be done. So like when you look at city council data across the country, New York City is one of the top three lowest with regards to women representation.
Right. So listen, I'm so excited to hear your reporting. So let's take a listen.
thank you to our esteemed panelists. This is going to be a fantastic conversation. To my immediate right is the Honorable Yvette Clark, Assemblywoman Rosa, and City Council Member Helen Rosenthal. I think we're at a real cultural moment right now in our country where we are sometimes litigating, sometimes in conversation, sometimes yelling at each other on Twitter about what it means to really center women and center women of color.
Women from the Native American community that has never, ever served in the House of Representatives before. Women from the Muslim community who have never, ever served in the House of Representatives before. We now have authentic voices at the table that can speak to their experiences.
That last voice there that you heard, that was Representative Yvette Clark, who spoke at the panel. And she's actually a veteran New York congresswoman. She's been serving since 2006. And even before that, she was on New York City Council. So we know that the nation saw this groundbreaking number of new women, many of whom were women of color, elected to Congress. After the event, I actually got to catch up with her to talk about what these midterms really mean for women representation. It was really cool to hear from someone who has over a decade of experience in Congress. And she's a busy woman, and she travels a lot between Brooklyn and D.C. But I was actually able to call her up one morning when she had a break in her D.C. office. Congresswoman Clark, thank you so much again for taking time out to speak with me.
Sure.
So the first thing I wanted to ask you about is this panel last week. It was sort of built around this conversation of what we saw in 2018 with these sort of milestone elections. And I know it's very early now for 2020, but if you were going to give like a sort of early prediction, not in terms of the presidential race specifically, but just, you know, even from locally to nationally, like as someone who is on the ground and has been for over a decade, do you feel like this hype will carry over to the next election?
Well, the assault on all of our humanity continues. We have not turned the page on that. We're not seeing cooperation from the Senate. While we have Democrats in the majority in the House who tend to be far more inclusive and far more sensitive to all of the issues that are impacting our communities and are putting forth real policy prescriptions to address them, we're not seeing the same level of urgency out of the Senate or the White House, which means that we have to continue our activism, our inside-outside strategy, if you will, until we get that breakthrough. The more that women are encouraged to run, the more that we encourage that organic leadership that's happening in every part of our city to step up and offer themselves for elective office, the more likelihood that we will see our numbers rise again. And I knew it was doable because I'd seen my own mom do it.
Right.
But not everyone has that level of exposure. So I try to, you know, honor each request that's made for me to appear in audiences where women are gathered to talk about my experience and to encourage other women to engage in elective office.
That actually brings up a point that I wanted to touch on. Something that Councilmember Rosenthal said on the panel was,
where are we, women? Where are we? Where's the commitment to Yvette Clark to keep her in office? She is the person who should be in office.
This idea that it's sort of on women that we need to show up more and that women aren't supporting each other enough in campaigns. And I thought that was interesting because I know you went on to reference Black women specifically. You said something like, you know, we're constantly saving us from ourselves. And I think the Alabama Senate race was brought up, which is probably the best example of that, where like Black women overwhelmingly voted against Roy Moore.
Yes.
Do you feel like that is true, that it is on women?
I do. I think we're influencers and we've not really sort of, as they say, we haven't quantified
that potential.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we influence in our families, we influence in our workplaces, we influence in our places of worship, but we always seem to acquiesce to, you know, male leadership. And again, I believe that many women are hardwired on a chauvinism and an environment that has always promoted men in leadership and has subordinated women's roles, though women have always been there and have been active participants in catapulting men into leadership. It's now, I believe, time for us to see ourselves as co-equals in civil society and recognizing that we don't have to take a back seat to the political ambitions of men around us, that we can actually step up and do the work ourselves. We can do the job ourselves. And when women support other women, we actually influence and move the needle on women's leadership in ways that we can't even quantify because of the influence that we have on society.
Erin Velarde moderated the conversation at the Carnegie Council, and she's the founder of Vote Run Lead, which is a nonprofit organization that trains women to run for office and, as she says, win. So a week after meeting Erin at the event, I made my way to Vote Run Lead's office in Harlem.
Good? Good.
I just wanted to talk to Vote Run Lead about how they're working to fight for gender equity in New York City, where we know the representation of women on city council is so low. And it was just interesting to get a sense from her perspective as someone who works with women candidates all over the country on how New York City differs when it comes to women in politics.
When you have really consistent, permanent efforts towards keeping underrepresented populations at the forefront, whether that be, you know, CEOs or the New York City Council, that's when it really works. When you have a handful that have been elected, like, you know, 2018 congressional races this year, and everybody's excited, and the news media starts saying, oh, look, we've sort of made it. We have X percentage this, X percentage that. We get complacent. And New York City is just like any other place, that if you do not mm-hmm. have those consistent, persistent efforts, you, because you're operating in a system that was built by and for a white patriarchy,
mm-hmm.
right? That has inherent bias in it. When we look at someone and they look like us, these guys are going to say, I'm more likely to support him. He's been doing the, you know, the work within the party for the last, you know, 15 years. I've already chosen this seat for him, right? You're breaking into a system where the culture and the norms are previously set, and where the structures of power, like fundraising and the party resources, are already set, and they are inherently different than the way women organize money, than the way women mm-hmm. organize their time. So you're going against a sort of a tide, you know, that is just, you're lucky if you can stand still, let alone sort of like go against it, right? And that's what we're, that's what we're doing at Vote Run Lead, is sort of saying there's ways to go outside the system and be that sort of outsider candidate, right? And someone like Helen Rosenthal is a good example of that. Or you can stay sort of within the system and, you know, fight the good fight and do the progression and, you know, get men as allies with you, you know, get more recruiting other women of color, having that additional job that you're not paid for. But only when there is that persistent and consistent recruitment of women, where you're changing the structures inside the party to say, hey, you want to have some sort of internal quota system? You know, what are our values here? And outside organizations like Vote Run Lead, holding them accountable to say, this is absolutely shameful.
So how do you, like, what is the day-to-day sort of nitty-gritty work that you're doing at Vote Run Lead to ensure that this conversation does keep growing?
Mm-hmm. So following the 2016 election, when we saw tens of thousands of women raising their hand and reaching out, mm-hmm. we reoriented our curriculum, and it's now called Run As You Are. And Run As You Are is both a message mm-hmm. and a methodology. And it's not perfect, right? There's always learning. We're always iterating on how to make it better. But when you see somebody for who they are, and it's not about what their resume is. It's about who they are as a person. And you say that leadership skills that you have developed, being outside of the community, being on the margins, finding probably a smaller amount of resources to do four times the amount of work, those are leadership qualities that are needed right now. And where you take the what people often think of as deficits, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're a young Muslim woman, right? Mm-hmm. You, what do you have to offer? It's like, I'm a young Muslim woman, and these are the 10 things I have to offer you. My perspective right now as a young person, what I, how I've been raised, how I can make different connections, how I can walk in the world. Right. Those things are assets.
Do you think for 2020, even though it's a little far from now, do you think we're going to be seeing a big change like that?
I think that is progress, but I also think that men don't know how to get out of the way. So Bernie needs to get out of the way. Beto needs to get out of the way. Joe Biden needs to get out of the way. I mean, what would it look like if Joe Biden said, I had lunch with Stacey Abrams and I am going to back her if she runs for presidency?
Yeah.
That's what we're asking for. That's the expectation.
And just circling back to locally, there are 11 out of 51 women on city council when we are 53% of the population in this city.
So I say that to, there's a few things. One, there's very specific efforts around trying to get more women to run for the city council. I think there needs to be other entities that are totally outside of the political sort of democratic machine here in New York City.
Right.
There has to be that insider-outsider strategy. So we're still sort of waiting on the outsider strategy. Vote Renly wants to be a part of both the insider and outsider strategies. We need the press here in New York to note that we don't have any citywide female representatives. And we should be seeing some commitments from city council representatives to say, I know I'm term limited out in 2021. It's important to me that we have a diverse body here in New York City, and I'm going to work to make sure that there are, you know, five women running for my seat, right? You don't have to anoint, you don't have to pick one, but where is a commitment from the current city council members to say, the person that should come after me should be an immigrant woman in my majority immigrant, you know, community right now. We hope to see very competitive seats in 2021 for the city council.
So, you know, as a woman of color myself, I've been thinking a lot these past few weeks as I reported this story out, and I just keep going back to this one woman I met, Janelle Gopi. She works with youth here in the city, and she told me that women in politics mean so much to the young girls who are watching them.
I think representation matters, right? So I think the more that young women of color are able to see your AOCs, your Malalas, your Yvette Clarks, like the more that they're able to see women actually kind of fighting against the patriarchy and not just be like a cool thing that we're saying on social media, I think that's kind of where it starts, especially in communities or underinvested communities where or women of color or young girls of color, they really need to see that this is not the end all be all. So I think representation matters tremendously. And I think the more that we're able to really focus in and hone in on their abilities and giving them that confidence. So a lot of it really does come from trust and confidence and comes from the idea that you can do this. And I think the more that we're able to support a lot of the women that are currently doing this, that can then trickle down to young women having the feeling that, oh, wow, I am capable of running for office, or I am capable of being a councilwoman or what have you. But we have to be very cognizant of the representation that they're seeing.
So there's a lot of work to be done, right? That's clear. But the women who are currently at the table and the women who are behind the scenes supporting them, they're doing a lot of work to keep this momentum going. But what Janelle said really stuck with me. And that's that for the young girls, for the Black, Muslim, Latina, and Native American girls, this Congress isn't going unnoticed. And I think it'll show when these girls of color claim their space one day.
Hey, Noor?
Yeah?
That was really, really good. Amazing.
Thank you.
Really good work to highlight these women voices. 2020 is obviously going to be an exciting election to follow, obviously.
Yeah.
From what I can tell, just from your reporting alone, that there's so many influential women that are going to be out there to watch, both who are running for office and the other important thing, those that are behind the scenes running campaigns and like making the deals, like that's power right there.
Yeah. And I think like usually when it does come to like race or gender issues, I feel like there is a fear that like once you have a small milestone like the midterms, it feels like, oh, we solved that problem forever and now no one's going to talk about it anymore. But I do feel like, no, that conversation is growing. You can see that from like these events and how women are talking about what's next. And now we see like Congress has more women and people of color than ever. And yet
right. We're
still talking about how we can improve. And now here in New York City, like council members like Helen Rosenthal are working to get more women on the council.
Wow.
So the drive is still there to get more representation.
I think you're absolutely right. I do think this whole notion of, oh, yeah, no, we've elected more diverse Congress people and and we're good on the local level. Everything's good. And there's enough women representing. And I'm like, I think it's just beginning. And I think what you're going to see, is the momentum
continuing.
And also, it's going to get a little bit messy, I think, because I think change is always messy, right?
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing the beginning of what I hope to see is elected officials who accurately represent the makeup, you know, of this country. And it's not just dudes.
Yeah.
Like, we have enough dudes, Noor. There's enough dudes, right?
Yeah. And now we're, like, talking about how these white men need, like, women of color because otherwise no one's going to pay attention to them versus, like, how it used to be that women of color need white men. It's like, no, that's not the case.
And that's the thing. It's like what we said in the when Terrell Starr guest hosted ITT Sound Off.
She don't need him.
She don't need him.
Exactly.
Great work.
Thank you. And I'm just, I'm really glad. Like, I just got to talk to some amazing women, you know, to cap off Women's History Month for In the Thick.
Wow. You're on brand. I love it.
Yeah. I always stay on brand.
Thanks again, Noor, for joining me today on In the Thick.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So that's a wrap for today's In the Thick. I'm Julio Ricardo Varela. And remember, guys, you got to go to Apple Podcasts to rate and review us because it totally helps us. Also, you can now listen to In the Thick on Pandora, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram under @InTheThickShow. You got to like us on Facebook. And please, please, please tell all your friends about In the Thick. In the Thick is produced by Juan Pablo Garnham and Nicole Rothwell. Our audio engineers are Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso. Our fellow is
Noor Saudi.
That's right. And the music you heard is courtesy of Nacional Kept and ZZK Records. Hey, guys, we'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening. Nos vemos.
Bye.
Bye.
Love it.
So are we good, or?
I think so. Okay. I'm okay. I guess.
But that wasn't like a philosophical question. It was just.
What's going on in your life?
All right. Yeah. Are we good? Okay.
The opinions expressed by the guests and contributors in this podcast are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Futuro Media or its employees.